We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
2 Chronicles chapter 18. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab, or agreement, or likeness, or whatever you might want to say. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go with him to Ramah Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. As we know that Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Judah and then the southern kingdom of Israel. Will thou go with me to Ramah Gilead? And he answered him. Now listen to this. I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. And we will be with thee in the war. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it unto the king's hands. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we may inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom ye may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good unto me, but always evil, the same as Micah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And the king of the Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch Micah, the son of Imlah. As I read just a few verses of scripture, and going to probably use several more scripture as we look into this message here this morning. And I know all of you Bible students, you understand what this is talking about. And you understand what we read here this morning. But just to review just for a second. And if I would take a text this morning, my text would be the danger of Christian complacency. Whenever that Christians become complacent. And you say, well, what does that word mean? That means when we become self-satisfied with the way things are, we're pleased with the way things are, we're satisfied. But there's a great danger when we allow ourselves to get to that place. There's a parable that was told by Martin Luther that illustrates the danger of Christian complacency. The parable goes something like this. Satan called a council of his demons to get their various reports. And the parable said that one of them said, I let loose a wild beast of the desert on a caravan of Christians. And their bones are now bleaching on the sands. And what of that, Satan said? Their souls were all saved, so they went to a better place. And then another one said, I drove an east wind against a shipload of Christians, and they were all drowned. And Satan replied again, what good is that? Their souls were all saved, so they're in heaven in a better place. But the third one said, for 10 years, I tried to get a group of Christians asleep, and he and I succeeded. And whenever he said that, the devil and all of hell rejoiced because sleeping Christians and sleeping churches cannot win victories for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is the whole purpose now, after that you're saved, that the devil wants to do is try to get you complacent. Try to get you self-satisfied, status quo, the way things are. Don't want to see no growth. Don't want to see anybody else saved. Don't want to work and show the love of Christ. Just complacent with the way things are. And so sinful sleep ends up in defeat, and it ends up in death for faith and freedom. An eternal vigilance or eternal watchfulness is the price of freedom. And God says in Amos chapter 6 and verse 1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. I think I preached on that 2 or 3 weeks ago. Woe to them that are asleep in Zion. And then we see in the book of Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 10 and 11, his watchmen are blind, Isaiah saying. They are all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. They are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They are all look to their own ways, even one for his gain from his quarter. Man, what an indictment to the children of Israel, to those that should have been watchmen, those that should have been warning the nation of the danger that of turning to false gods and following after false gods. And so I remember growing up as a young boy, we always had dogs, and we would call them a watchdog. But most of the time, those dogs would allow anybody to come in and carry off anything they wanted to carry off, and they would never bark. And so what I'm saying here is compromising preachers, compromising churches, compromising Christians today. Watch the modernists set aside the essential doctrines of Christianity. Right. And do not open our mouths in protest. Right. We're allowing those to deny the truth and deny the Word of God and proclaim it, and we sit quiet and never open our mouth. And so the reason I say this is preaching, you can turn on a radio anytime you want to, turn on the television anytime you want to, and you can see, hear, and see preaching anytime you want to. And let me say, a large majority of it is really, really good. But there's some in there that is not really, really good. There's some in there that has distorted the Word of God. There's some in there that are denying some of the essentials of the Word of God. And so we got to be very, very careful what that we listen to. And we understand here that leaders of the National Council of Churches and multitudes and their members, denominations, those that belong to that league, have long disregarded the belief that the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God. They deny that. They deny. They deny not only that, but they deny the deity of Christ, that He is God. Not only that, but they deny His death upon the cross of Calvary and His death alone, and the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, is the only thing that will cleanse us from our sins. And they deny that. The Bible says that a good minister will warn the brethren when some depart from the faith and give heed to seducing doctrines. The Apostle Paul warned young Timothy and said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He went on in the 6th verse of that same chapter and said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of those things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. Now God commanded in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. The duty of a watchman is to warn people. Duty of a watchman is to reprove people. Say what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is sin. What you're doing is against the word of God. And it'll bring consequences. And it'll bring defeat. And it'll bring ruin. And it'll bring sorrow. And eventually bring death. And so I want you to see these two here. Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat was a true believer. He was a man of God. And Ahab was a modernist who rejected the God of the Bible. And Ahab married a wicked woman that we all know by the name of Jezebel, who headed a false religion, and that false religion was the worship of Baal. And she made the worship of Baal the official state religion of Israel. And so Ahab, 2 Kings 16:30 says, and Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Boy, what an achievement. That is saying here he was the wicked man. He is the wickedest man that Israel had ever had as a king. That's what God said about him. The most wicked man that had ever reigned as king. And here is Jehoshaphat, a man of God, a true believer, making agreement with him. Making a compact with him. And so, under these circumstances here, Jehoshaphat did the proper thing. He strengthened his military might of his country. Not only that, but he fortified the land. He sought the help of God and took a strong stand against his wicked neighbor, Israel. And this resulted, if you want to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 1 through 5, this resulted in the blessings of God upon the king. Now, Jehoshaphat had also had put away the false religions. He had sent ministers to lead to teach the word of God throughout all the land of Judah. And God prospered the land with revival and prosperity. So there was the kind of a man that Jehoshaphat was in the beginning. There was the kind of man that he was when he had God's hand upon him and was a man of God. But then I want you to see Jehoshaphat's compromise. If you'll look there in verse 1, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. So what we're saying, a time went by. Jehoshaphat became complacent, self-satisfied. And we read here in this first verse, this tragic, almost unbelievable turn in him as a person. He made a terrible, terrible mistake. And so I want us to understand here that we, for no reason, can we hook up and join up and agree with and support anyone that denies the Word of God? Amen. Anybody that denies the true Word of God. No matter what. Now this you're saying for the sake of love and getting along. No, that is no reason. That is never a reason. The Bible says, behold, it's better. Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice. This so-called love that we say that allows God's word to be questioned is abomination to God and who has magnified his word above his name. In Psalms 138, too, he said that he exalts his word above his own name. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen, verse 2, in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. You always go down when you join up with the enemies of God. Did you understand what I said? Specifically, the Bible said that he went down. Anytime that you hook up or join up or support anybody that going against the Word of God, then you're going down. You'll always go down. And so he said he went down. Had Jehoshaphat gone as a witness to win Ahab to God, the story would have turned out different. But the Bible said that he joined affinity, or he had made an agreement, or a relationship, or continued, or he became like they were. And he cooperated with the modernists. And this was contrary to God's word. And so today, in which we're living, many young preachers and many denominations and many churches today are compromising, and they're compromising so that they can have popularity, compromising so that they can have prestige, compromising so that they can have a good paycheck and have a nice pocketbook, get a nice salary, and say what the people want them to say. And so they do that, and they lose their power with God, and they become appeasers instead of prophets. Now, listen. The National Association of Evangelicals had a motto, and their motto was this year: cooperation without compromise. Cooperation without compromise. To some, this motto was itself a compromise, and it was an apology for their working with modernists. And that's what they were doing. The modernist is very, very happy for a believer to come down and join up with him. And he'll tolerate the believer even so long, and don't even care what he preaches, so long as he does not call him out and criticize or preach against some of the things that they're doing. And so as long as he can use him as Ahab used Jehoshaphat, they don't mind if they can use you. And so the modernists usually don't care. In fact, the moderns prefers a few fundamentals to be spread among their group so that they can use him as a friend. Now, you look who's a part of us. Look who that we have here. And so, with Othman said, and then I want you to see here in verse 3, I want you to see Jehoshaphat surrender. And boy, look at this. And Ahab said unto Jehoshaphat, "Will thou go with me?" Now listen now, here is an ungodly man. Here is the king of Israel who did not believe in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Here is a God, here is a man, an atheist, asking a man of God, "Will you go with me to Ramah Gilead?" And he answered, look what he said, "I'm as thou art. I'm as thou art, and my people as thy people." We're all the same. It don't matter that we got different gods. It don't matter that we got different convictions, that we got different standards. We're all the same. I'm just like you are. And my people, and we will be with thee in the way. We'll walk together. We'll support one another. Did Jehoshaphat mean that? Did he really mean that we're as you are? Did he do that? That is what happens when anyone joins up with an enemy of the faith. Pretty soon you'll be going along with them. And you'll be just like they are. And so, but God says that when you receive a false religious teacher into your house and you bid him Godspeed, you are a partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John 7-11. When somebody comes and knocks on your door and they come in and they present you a false doctrine or false teaching, and you say, "Well, I'm not interested in that, but God bless you." You know what you've just done? You have just become a partaker of their evil deeds. And basically what you're saying is, God, you put your blessings on the false teaching that these people are presenting. So you beware when those false teachers sends them little youngins into your house and gives you false literature and gives you false doctrine. They know how to play. It takes somebody, they're going to turn away little children. And so you be careful. You become a partaker of his evil deeds. And so God calls to those who find themselves in apostate religious group. He says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Revelations 18:4. Fundamental Jehoshaphat said to modernist Ahab, I'm as thou art. And so I was talking to a person that belonged to a denomination that we're not associated with, but I know what that denomination stands for, and I know what that denomination is preaching. I know what they're taking in. I know all those kind of things. And I said something to him, and he complained to me and said, you classify me with the modernist. And what else could I do? What else can you do whenever that person holds membership with them? When that person is ordained by them? When that person preaches the doctrine that is controlled by the denomination? So what I say is, when one quacks like a duck, and when one wobbles like a duck, and when one swims like a duck, then I believe I would be correct in calling him a duck. Is that not right? So whether you like it or not, then if you're running with the crowd and you belong to them and you're supporting them, then you're part of them, regardless of what you want to say. You're supporting their false doctrine. And so Jehoshaphat's concerned, but he was uncomfortable. Jehoshaphat was in this false fellowship. He wanted to hear what the Word of God said. Look what verse 4 said. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now he got a little bit of convictions here. He got a little uneasy. He was uncomfortable with this false fellowship. And you cannot join with an unbeliever for prayer or advice from God. You can't go to someone that's unsaved and ask for advice and ask them to pray for you. Because unbelieving Ahab, I'm sure he wasn't using the same Bible that Jehoshaphat was using, because he had a different God. People tell me that they will stay in a modernist Bible-denying church. I'll pray about it. I'll pray whether I should get out of it or not. I'll pray if that's so. You don't need to pray. You need to get this morning. You don't need to pray over that which God has already revealed in His Word. If God says it, you don't have to pray about it. You can do it. You know it's right. God's will and God's way never disagrees with His Word. They're in agreement. That would be like a person praying, Lord, help me to rob a bank. Don't pray that. Why don't you pray that? Because the Bible says stealing is a sin. So why would you ask God to help you to do something the Word of God tells you that you're not to do? And so you cannot pray that. Lord, should I get out of this group that don't believe? You don't need to pray that. When God gives His Word, do not pray as to whether you'll obey it or not. I don't read the Word of God in my private Bible study. And after I get done reading it and it tells me something that sort of goes against my flesh and sort of convicts me and sort of brings me under conviction, I don't pray and say, Lord, should I really obey that? Should I really do what that said? I don't do that. I don't have to pray about it. God's already, does not the Bible say that God's word is forever settled in heaven? That it's, you don't have to pray about what the Word of God says. That's just like people saying, I'm going to pray about tithing. Why in the world would you pray about tithing? God's word said for you to. You don't have to pray about what God's word said. You said, boy, I knew somewhere in there he'd get that. So what I'm saying is, we missed church last week. That don't mean that you've got to keep God's tithe from last week. Huh? So what we're saying is, you don't pray about that. The Bible says pray. You don't have to pray about it. I know somebody told me, I've been really promoting soul winning, really promoting visitation one time, and this lady come up to me and said, well, preacher, I'll pray about it, whether I should be a soul winner or not. And I said, ma'am, you're a whole lot more educated than I am. But let me just say this in all humility that I can say this. You don't have to pray about soul winning, because God said for every one of us, every Christian, to go out and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus with lost people. And so, look here. Verse 5. Therefore, the king of Israel gathered together of the prophets 400 men and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it unto the king's hand. Modernist preachers can usually agree. But Jehoshaphat recognized that something was wrong. He asked, is not here a prophet of the Lord beside that we might inquire of him? This just don't seem right. This just don't seem like it should be. Can we have? And so many in modernist churches, even today, by talking to them, they recognize that something is wrong. But they become complacent. Jehoshaphat has gone too far. It'll take greater resolve for him to turn back now. He's already gone too far. But listen. But you say, well, preacher, I might win that modernist to Christ. I might win that liberal. I might win him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I might win that one that denies the deity of Christ. That denies the blood. You do not win a drunkard by sitting down and drinking with him. You don't win a thief by going to Walmart and helping him to steal something. You'd rather lose your effective testimony. And as Lot did with his own family when he went to Sodom, and the Bible says to his own family, his own children, because he had compromised, Genesis 19:4, he seemed as one that mocked. Lost his witness. And our relationship to unbelievers is to be one to love for the love of their souls.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.